It's amazing, isn't it? 2026 is coming, ready or not. I was going to say, as I get older, time seems to be flying quicker, but it's not really, because time is always, you know, 20 hours a day, 7 days a week. So what makes our perspective thing, you know, one may be on Earth, we all have expiry dates, you know, and so the hope is we can think about things that we hope that is eternal, because what's eternal is forever. So in terms of your investment of your time and energy, it is investment, because what you sow, you will reap. You know, so it's not all doom and gloom, but we are coming to end of years, and most of us chronologically were like, okay, what has happened in 2025? So Maria and I like to do like, what's the highlight in 2025? So we don't want to talk about the negative stuff. Not that we are in denial, but, you know, like most things, our human mind will want to stick to the black dot in the big white page and just focus on that black dot, which is negative. Or we can say, wow, there's so many opportunity and so many different people I come in contact, you know, and just the joy of different things. So Maria and I kind of look at this service and saying, if this is our last service for our life ministry, so it's not doom and gloom again, it's like, what would it be? What would be the message? You know, we preach for last 11 years and, you know, on and off here, different places. What would be our last message that we will want to convey? So I want to go through, you know, we touch a bit and, you know, Simon brought it in kind of way summary, you know, that the Holy Spirit, that's the life. It has to flow out. You know, when you come to God, you know, in the garden, the rivers and all that, now in the New Testament, the living well is becoming river of life. So wherever we go is like, hey, you want to have a drink? You know, this water will quench all kind of thirst and all that. So I want to summarize as in the great Nicene Creed. You know, man's purpose is to really enjoy God and give him glory. That's the big word, catechism. Yes, that one, all right. It's not Chinese, so that's why I can't remember that. All right. So this is from the scripture. So I want to show you that Jesus actually called us to his companionship to say, come along and see what I'm doing. And what I get to do, you get to do it much, much more. Because when I go, the Spirit will come. When the Spirit come, he will dwell in you forever and be with you forever. And who is this Holy Spirit? He says it's like a paraclete, a parakletos. It basically means someone just like Jesus that will come alongside you, not in a human form, because human form are limited in time and space, but in the Spirit. But it's the Spirit of God who dwells in all the spaces of the world, because he's ever-present, and then he's all-powerful. You know, the big word, omnipotent, you know, I think it's Latin. You know, all-powerful, and he's all-knowing. Because he's all-knowing, he gets to bring what Jesus tried to reveal to his disciple, and then we're a bit slow, so he bring it to remembrance and say, hey, remember what Jesus said? Most of us were not there when Jesus was walking on the earth. But it's just like right here, right now, he can convey to us what Jesus is wanting us to do. That's part of the companionship. So this scripture is from 1 John 2. It says, but whoever keep his word, all right? Very important is Jesus' word we have to keep. We are disciple of Christ. We're not disciple of a mega church. We're not even disciple of Vineyard. I mean, we are all Vineyard, but some of you don't even know where Vineyard come from. And that's not important. If you met John Wimber, he's like, no, it's all about Christ. It's about his church. It's about what the Holy Spirit. So we have to keep his word, Jesus Christ's word. All right, I look around, you know, a few of us are from different denominations. It is Jesus' word that is eternal. It's Jesus' word that is full of truth and grace, and it gives you lives. In fact, John 8, 31 to 32, Jesus said to believers, you know, if you want to be my disciple, you need to listen to my word and hold on to it. Then you prove yourself to be my disciple. When you hold on to his word, then you will know the truth. It is knowing the truth of Jesus' word that will set you free. So, but whoever keeps his word, in him the love of God has truly been perfected. Just think about it. Is the love of God truly been perfected in you? How much of Jesus' word have you kept and believed? But this we know, that we are in him. The one who say he abides in him ought himself or herself to walk in the same manner as he walked. So that's our call. Each and every one, whether you're male, female, whatever country, culture, age, stages in life, you can walk like Jesus. You know, you can dance like Jesus. You can do the things like Jesus. Stop and think, how much do you believe in that? How much do you, you know, shortchange yourself? So it's a belief system, isn't it? If you believe correctly, if you believe Jesus completely, you will receive his revelation. And as you receive his revelation, you say, this is truth. This is what I'm live for. This is what life is about. And you begin to live like what Jesus called you to. John 5, 17, 19, 20, that was Jesus' model. Jesus came in a human body, but he completely dependent on the Spirit. And as he dependent on the Spirit, he's dependent to like, I better look at what my Father is doing. My Heavenly Father, who is in charge of the whole universe, I want to see what he's doing on earth. He is working 24/7 on earth. So I want to see what he's doing. And then Jesus said, I only say what I hear my Father say. I only do what I say my Father. So in the similar way now, we like, okay, we have the Spirit of Christ in me, and the Holy Spirit awakened me or show me what Jesus is doing. And so I like, okay, I am Jesus' disciple. You know, the modern term, a lot of new theologian like to use apprentice, which is a good word. You know, apprentice is someone who not just learn things in the classroom and collect knowledge or information in the head. They kind of like, oh, I learn it, I'm going to put it in action. So it's not right reading a book or a manual about car and you memorize all the chapters and the, you know, sentences, but you never get in the car. You never drive in the car. So you can say, yeah, I know everything about the car. And some Christian, you talk to them, it's like that. They know all the theory, but they're not practitioner. Apprentice were like, let me figure it out. He say, I should pray like that. you know, I just pray for healing like that. And you go and practice this, you know. So that's a discipleship. All right, next scripture. Next one. All right, okay. ABC. So my Christianity, I try to keep it simple. Might review, that's my mindset. I'm a simple man. I'm actually optometrist. So some of you have been to optometrist. All we can do is one or two. This one is three. So that's one or two, better or not, you know. So we talk about if you abide in Christ, you will walk, you will conduct your life like Christ. So to be a long life discipleship, which is what we call. When I was a young Christian in uni, I used to lead a life group. And then friends would ring like, I can't turn up because I got exam and all that. I was a bit nasty, all right? But it was truthful. I say, hey man, I know you're starting medicine, but you are a full-time Christian first. Ooh. Therefore, Christ must be your priority. Because even after you're a doctor, you're still a full-time Christian. So they turn up. I'm not sure, you know. But that's how I try to live. I'm a full-time Christian. So I'm called currently to serve as a pastor. And few of the young ones like, oh, you're a pastor, but you also check eyes. Do you pray for healing? No, I have to do the 1-2-1-2. All right? Abide in Christ, but that's from Romans 15, not Romans 15, John 15. So John, we know there's a 7 I am, and the last one is I am the vine. So if you abide in the vine and the branches, guess what? You will get the life of the vine. If you get the life of the vine, which is Christ, and you are the branches, guess what kind of fruits you get? The fruits of Christ. All right? And we kind of like, okay, where's the connection of the fruit of the Spirit? It is the fruit of the Spirit. All right? So we are called to be Christ-like. It's not that hard. Ooh. It's not that hard. That's what we are meant to be. To be Christ-like is to be and do what Christ do, because that's what Christ did to glorify. And I mentioned it a few times, but it's worth repeating. John 14, 15, and 16 is three chapters in one book that refer to Holy Spirit as the Paraclete. And the whole Bible is only used 5 times in the whole Bible, all right? 4 times in this 3 chapter. So it's very important because John writing it, highlighting that when Jesus go, the Holy Spirit will come. And then John 15 is right in the middle. So somewhere along the line, there's a connection, the vine, the branches, the Father, the wine dresser, that the life is actually the Holy Spirit. You know, you can read in 14, 15, and 16. So look at studies that was one of the biggest function of the Holy Spirit, to come alongside so that you can be Christ-like. Because what the Holy Spirit reveal is all about Christ, to glorify Him, but also to reveal things that is in the future. How good is that? We are actually futurists, because Jesus and God is not trapped in the time and space. So our abiding is to be Christ-like, all right? To be Christ-like, please hear this, all right? To be Christ-like, it's not only in the church service. If you look at the gospel, most of the miracle, the healing and deliverance that Jesus did was not in the synagogue, which is compared to what we think. We be Christ-like in the world. The world needs good example of Christian, not within the church. That's where you do your discipleship. That's where you practice your healing, your spiritual gifts. And the C, like I say, so for example, Paul, in his writing, 2 Corinthians 13, some version is 13, some is 13, 14. It said, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. And may the love of the Father be with you. And then last part, may the communion or the fellowship of the Holy Spirit with you. So Paul changed the order a bit, because most of us are like, okay, I will baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. See the switch, the change? Because it's by the grace of God where Jesus declared, I am the way to the Father. I'm the truth about the Father. I'm the life with the Father. So grace is the one that brought us to the Father. And so we enjoy the love. And then the Father say, okay, my Son has done all he can. Now, Holy Spirit, your turn. And so we are in the living in the period of time where the Holy Spirit is the prime player in the Trinity on earth. All right, they're all together. All right, next one. All right, I want to mention that because I was reminded again this week how that is really, really powerful. So 10, 11 years ago, I came up with AFL. So Doug just came from South Africa. So they don't play rugby here. They play AFL. All right, yeah, not real football, but that's what they call it. But just to, you know, so the word accept, all right, through this year, we have different people coming into the fellowship. You know, some of them look a bit psychotic, some of them just look weird, all right? So I'm talking about myself, I'm not looking at anyone. But how do we as a community accept them? So this word accept is from Romans 15, verse 17. It says, therefore, accept one another as Christ accept you to the glory of God. But that acceptance is not from distance. It's like, Wayne, I see you, I accept you, but I'm not going to get close to you. The acceptance is actually running to Wayne and say, Wayne, in my heart, there's room for you. I open up my heart and say, you're welcome. I receive you, you know. I receive you. And the word welcome is basically how Jesus welcomed us. While we were yet sinners, Jesus like, okay, Tim, I like Tim. I'm going to accept him. And when Christ accept us is while we were yet sinners. But he saw the potential and the possibility in us, and he said, I reckon Tim will walk with me. That's the acceptance. I reckon Tim will play AFL with me, all right? And Doug will play rugby union with me, you know? That's the real game. I'm just telling you the real game, you know? The real man play rugby union, you know? But it is the welcoming. And you look around, we are all so different. Yeah, sometimes when you preach, you want to mention people's name, then you get yourself in trouble. I was talking with someone, and we were talking about the differences that we can do podcasts, how we can break, you know, cultural barrier, the generation. But we speak in a language that encourage and accepting and not pushing them away. Not even coming as an expert like, oh, I'm going to help you. But it's like, hey, maybe some suggestion might assist you better. You know, the young people like to use the word hack, H-A-C-K. I thought, you know, tips might be good, tools. They say, no, hacks. So we start from that, and then Jesus say, okay, I'm going to welcome them, and I'm going to the Lamb of God, I'm going to die for them, and I will offer forgiveness. So when we look at people out there, or people that come here, do we see that they have hope? Do we see that maybe, you know, Vineyard like to say, come as you are, but don't stay as you are, which means if you interact with Vineyard community, we pray the Spirit of God will change you. We pray that the God of hope will come and say, oh, wow, there's something different. You know, we have young men who I met 2.5 months ago. I like, hey, do you like the Christian God? Yeah, I think he's pretty good, you know, the Christian community. So you see the change. But when I first met him, he's like very suspicious of me because, you know, like say I look weird. But that's the interaction we do. We kind of like, I don't want to judge you. I receive you. And hopefully when I receive you, there's a love of God that kind of like, this guy is different. What is it, you know, that they want to question? So I feel the step is like this. If you can't accept someone truly, can't welcome them, can't receive them, you probably find it hard to forgive them if they do something wrong. And if you can't accept them, you can't forgive them, I would probably say you're going to struggle with a great commandment to love them the way Jesus loves you. That's just my theory. You know, it's not written in the Bible. So that's something we do to the glory of God. Not for ourselves, it's to the glory of God. Thank you, Chris. I think you get extra points for that, man. Fool. Rewards out of this world. All right, next one. And then I think Maria is going to jump up. I'm not going to touch on this, but simply as a disciple, you just try to be faithful in small and big things and available. You know, I say, you know, to my students group that we are full-time Christian, not full-time student. And therefore, our priority is always what does our Lord Jesus wants us to do. Not what, I'm not trying to ask students not to study, but again, it's context, all right? So after you graduate, same thing. You got full-time work, but it's not full-time. You're a full-time Christian first. You have to prioritize like, okay, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You know, that's it. And then follow. And then servant heart is just part of the discipleship. We're called to serve. John 13 talks about washing the feet. Yeah, it's good chapter to look in. And just teachable. Discipleship is constantly everlasting. Is that right? Yeah, Joseph is nodding and Geraldine are looking around. They are my elder here. So if they're still learning, I have to learn. There's no expert. All right, welcome, Marie. I got one more. All right. What is it? Oh, all right. So I like acronym. I like certain things. Okay, so a full-time Christian is committed to three things that Christ is about. Christ is about his church. So I break it down community. Sometimes we think about the church like the Anglican church or Roman Catholic. We like too big, too much. But this is our family, our extended family. You know, we can like, oh, you know, Joshua is here. There's 2J, you know. Yeah. You know, so what I mean is you have to be in that kind of interdependent relationship. That's how we practice AFL, you know? And then you do that outside because you have to take the great commandment to love God, you know, seriously. And you do it outside in the cafe, in the community. They are the neighbors. They are the one that is along your road to Jericho and you see someone fallen. They are your neighbors. They are the one that need a bit of kindness, a bit of a fruit of the Spirit. You know, just give a bit of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, you know, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And the Great Commission is like, hey, I'm a disciple of Christ. My life is not too bad. If you hang out with Jesus, being Jesus' companion, it's really good. Help. I will help you to be a disciple. Marie likes to take over now as...
Awesome. We're almost... Oh, there we are. Thanks, Jeff. We both wanted to be able to share with you today, and it's got a few bits and pieces scribbled out. I think it's really important to take stock at the end of the year and to think about what's been. And I don't know about you, but for me, time kind of was almost a bit of a blur. So I think... it's always good to actually stop, because in the Bible it's always remember, you know, Jesus said, remember me. You know, it's good for us to be remembering, to remember how good God is and has been, and because he doesn't change, will continue to be. So it's good for our soul to remember that. And I'm sure that for most of us, we might see the ups and downs of our year. And I certainly can relate to that too. I think with that, what's important to remember is that once we've said yes to Jesus, you know, the ups and the downs can be the fact is in the fact that we are actually called to be in his end time army. You know, we are in a spiritual war zone spiritually, and we will come against resistance. That's our reality. That is the spiritual reality we're in. Yet Jesus is here as our captain, and we're called to serve him, and he is to be our number one priority, as Toby's been talking about, to be how to be a full-time Christian, is to see who is our king, who is the one who is master of our life, who do we want leading our life. And, you know, when we think about the fact that we are in a bit of a war zone, we are in a war zone here, some of us are really ready for that battle. We're feeling, yes, I'm ready to go for you, Jesus. Others are feeling pretty battle-worn. They've had so much difficulty. Life is tough. And they need healing. They need encouragement. Some need more like a hospital and need tending to. And that's where I think this year for us as a community, you know, life groups have been such a bonus to us and been such a benefit, and people have gone, have been really growing in that. And as we started the year, you know, I was saying, you know, life groups and really focusing on building community, really heart relationships with one another, is not just to be about another program, but is to be the program. It's about who we are. We want to be Christ community. We want to be a community where we can actually be real with each other. Because when we go through life out there, sometimes we can easily put that mask on, but to be with people who just accept you for where you're at right now. You know, we're all on life's journey together. And so how beautiful it is to be experienced community where it doesn't matter where you're at, you know that you're loved, and you're going to be encouraged, And that's where life groups has been such a help too, to meet outside of this gathering, which is really encouraging too, but throughout the week when we're doing life and we can really do life together. We're all on this kingdom quest together, and we're here to encourage one another in that. We're on an adventure with Jesus. And when I was thinking about that, I was thinking about a verse in Galatians, if we can just have that next slide. And I really love Paul because he says, "Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially those who belong to the family of believers." It's interesting, that one. I think Paul writes that because he realises that, you know, day in, day out, trying to live life, trying to please God, it's not always easy. It's not easy. And we come against opposition. Life is tough. We've got to work through things that are challenging. And boy, oh boy, I mean, life gets tiring. So he's encouraging us. Yes, I understand. If you're feeling weary sometimes, yeah, okay. But realise that God is at work. Jesus always said, you know, God is at work 24/7. So even in the weariness, even in our willingness and trying to do right, we might not see an outcome, but we know God is at work. And Paul is saying at the proper time, God's timing. How often do we realise and experience that that God's timing just ain't ours? We think, God, come on, can't you do what I want you to do now? I mean, really, this is just taking way too long. Oh, my goodness, I totally, align with that. It can be hard, and that's where the weariness, I think, comes in. But I think we need to be encouraged because his plan is that we actually reap a harvest. He actually wants us to be successful. And as he puts desires in our hearts to serve him, to see his plans come about, he actually wants it to come about more than we do. So let's not give up. Let's keep encouraging one another and consider how we might do that. You know, let's do good to one another, all people. But, you know, Paul's focusing on the family of believers, and I think he's emphasising that because we are the ones who are going to be carrying the light and to encourage others. So if we can be encouraged, then we get to encourage those outside where we go, in the marketplace. Because, wow, there's so many people that are feeling alone and broken and not encouraged. So let's be encouraging one another. And I've been so really thrilled to see how we are doing that. And it's wonderful, you know, the life group at Simon's house, you know, Simon and Mel, it's not even effort for them to put on life group because they're having such a great time and everyone's encouraging one another. The young adults, they're having a great time. And with Jeremy and Daniel, yes, Taz. And on Sunday afternoons here as well, it's been a great opportunity for people to come together and get to know each other in a deeper way. So let's keep going with that. I think too, with God's timing, you know, we are so focused often on getting to that destination, on getting the result. We're very results orientated. And that's the world that we're in. But God is so much about the journey, so much about us growing. It's when things take a long time, or it seems like we're hearing a no, or that's we're experiencing a no when we're waiting for the yes. It's like, well, what are we going to do then? Are we going to keep trusting in God? God's waiting in those moments. You know, that's the opportunity we get to choose him again and say, you know, God, even in the midst of not seeing what I expect to come about, it's not happening yet, okay, I'm still choosing you because I'm still choosing that you are good. you are good to me. That job opportunity, that relationship, it's not quite happening the way I want right now, but it's okay because I know that you've got me and it's going to be all right. God is an amazing encourager in our weariness. He's so faithful. For me, I was personally a couple of months ago, and I've shared this with a few people, I was really exhausted. I mean, really exhausted. I couldn't get off the couch, really. I could feel myself beginning to shut down. Oh, this is not good. I teach other people at Bible college how not to get into this space, and here I am. How did I get there? I'm not sure. But, you know, as I was, you know, wrestling that with God, and I'm sure no one else ever gets into that space where they've just hit rock bottom. No, of course, it's just me. But, you know, God is so faithful in that. You know, he calls us and he also encourages us along the way. And I had this dream, and in the dream I was driving the car, and then there was a bit of a change in direction. I thought, you know, at this point I think I'm going to just get in the back seat and I'm going to close my eyes. I'm going to stop driving because I just want to chill out. I just want to dial right down. And I could feel the sleep that I was in go deeper. And I thought, oh, that's delicious. I love this. And I was just resting there. And then I could feel someone shaking me. And I thought, oh. And I woke up. Got up, got dressed, I went out and I talked to my dear husband, Toe, and I said, Toe, why did you just wake me up then? I was in such a great sleep. Oh, it was so good. Maria, I have not been in there. I didn't wake you up. And then the next thing he said, must have been an angel. Well, I know that angels are real, but, oh, Daniel certainly wouldn't have come in to wake me up. He doesn't come anywhere near me. I thought, well, someone absolutely shook me up. And, you know, and I thought, God, what was all that about? You know, here I am really tired. Love that idea of really just chilling out. But it was almost like in that dream too, I was like going, oh, I've really had enough. I'm just going to close my eyes and just let the car go. You know, someone else can drive it, whatever. I'm tuning out now. And it was like God said, no, time to get back up again. It's okay. Get up again. And I thought, Lord, how beautiful are you? You know what's ahead. I don't. And whatever is ahead, you know that you in me is able to walk through and to keep going and to do all that you're calling me to do, and it's okay. And so from that point, I've got more and more refreshed, and God is so faithful. So even in our weariness, and I'm sure you have times too when you feel like, God, where are you? You know, God is right with you. He is in you, with you, encouraging you. Even in your dreams, he may come. Sometimes it's learning how to tune into that still, small voice that wants to encourage you on your way. He's encouraging us to continue with him. And there are indeed angels. You know, Hebrews talks about how God has sent angels to us to minister to those who belong to him, who are being saved. God is indeed faithful. Over the last couple of weeks, people have been asking me, you know, what's up for next year with Marion Vineyard? What's happening? You know, what are you planning for next year? And we have got some thoughts and plans. And it's based on the fact that a couple of months ago, in the midst of, you know, talking with God and just getting about life, there was a bit of quiet, and then that voice, that whisper came, And I knew it was from the Lord. And God whispered, Jesus is coming back. Oh, yes, now? Okay. What more is there you want to say? And I thought, oh, it really grabbed my attention. I thought, oh, okay, this is, you really want me to take note of that? And I was a little bit tentative telling people because I, you know, as being a Christian and in the 80s, there were a lot of people who went on a lot about Jesus coming back, trying to pick dates and all this sort of stuff. And I thought, I don't really want to be connected with that fanatical fringe, you know. So I think I'll just keep this little one to myself a little bit for a while. And then we went to the National Vineyard Conference, and Simon and Sarah were talking about the kingdom of God, and the vineyard will say, you know, the kingdom of God is now and not yet. And on their T-shirts they had, the kingdom is now, not yet crossed out, coming soon. The kingdom is not just now, but it's coming soon. I thought, okay, God's whispering something around the place. So I started to talk a bit more about it and thinking, certainly praying about it. Well, what are the implications then if you're saying that to me, being a pastor and wanting to lead and to speak into what's going on, what is the implication for us? Well, Jesus is coming back. He's coming back for his beautiful bride. Wow. How do we become beautiful for Jesus? How does the bride get ready? And so we want to focus on that. How do we get ready? How do we wait well? Obviously, Jesus ascended into heaven over 2,000 years ago. We've been waiting. We don't know how much longer we're waiting for. We're more in the end times now than ever before. How do we wait well? How do we wait in being the bride of Christ? How do we get about the business of being his church? Can we have a look at the next slide? So I really love the fact that Toe brought out these three C's, you know, to be fully committed to Christ, to be the bride that Jesus is coming back for. We want to be committed to his church. What will that look like? What does it look like to love God's church? Jesus said, I love the church, and he gave his life up for the church. So it's important. You know, how does that work out in our lives and in our community? Christ's commandment to love God with every atom of your being and to love others like yourself. And they said, you know, that other loving others is really just like loving God. You know, I know we put a lot of attention on how to love God and how to worship and give all of our life to God. And how much enthusiasm do we give to loving others? You know, it's this God's book, it's kind of the same in terms of the weight. And then Jesus gave us his great commission, not great suggestion, great commission to go out and make disciples that make disciples that make disciples. Wow. Jesus is coming back. How awesome. How awesome. Jesus, when he was speaking a parable about the widow, the persistent widow in Luke 18, finishes off with, you know, when the Son of Man returns, will I find faith on the earth? In Revelation, the very last book, in the very last part, you know, Jesus says, I'm coming soon. And then at the end of that, it says, the Spirit and the bride say, come. So the Spirit, God here with us on the earth right now, in us, with us, is keen for Jesus to come back. And the bride in that prophecy is also keen for Jesus to come back. Wow. Are we keen? Are we expectant? Are we ready? Are we desiring that? So in terms of next year, really it's going to be, what are these three C's going to look like for us? What is it going to mean to love the community, to love others, to be out in the world loving people as well? And I want to encourage all of us as we coming to the end of 2025, going into 26, would you lean into these things with all of us together? Because I know a lot of people will wait, well, let's just see what the pastors and leaders come up with. Well, yeah, I mean, God speaks to us, sure, but we are a family together. You know, listen to the still small voice, the dreams, the ideas that God might plant in you. Come and share them, because let's see what God is breathing on, that we might be his amazing bride, beautiful bride, together for next year. As we move to Christmas, you know, the story goes that here we have Joseph and Mary on their donkey going into Jerusalem, and they try and find room where Jesus will be born, and they go to the inn. There's no room at the inn, you know. And so they have to find a space, a place. So can I encourage all of us, let's keep making more space in our hearts for Jesus, where Jesus is truly welcome to come and lead, to speak, because he loves you. Awesome. You're awesome. He loves you and he loves us. And he wants to keep moving on us, moulding us to make us more and more beautiful. Jesus, let's make room in our hearts for Jesus, in our minds and in our lives. Yeah. Praise God. Can I just encourage us to stand? We're going to sing a couple of songs and go into communion. So, Lord, we thank you, God, for your promises to us. Lord, how amazing, Lord, that you love us. Lord, you, Colossians talks about how you hold the universe together. Wow. And yet you're here with us. You're holding us together, our lives, this community, Lord. So, Lord, we invite you in, Lord. And we look forward. We thank you, Lord, for this year that's been, even for the downs, Lord, because we know that even there you're probably even more strongly present, because you're really speaking and moulding us in those times. But we thank you for all of our moments in 2025. And Lord, we look expectant for 2026. Often we're asked to make New Year's resolutions, but Lord, you're always making resolutions. You're always inviting us into the new, into the more. And so we want to start right now, Lord, to say, yes, we're leaning into you and all that you're calling us into individually and as a community here at Marion Vineyard. So would you come, Lord? Come and mould us and lead us in Jesus' name. Amen.